It's a great pleasure for us to have our brother Alfred Allfree with us this morning to exhort us, and we invite him now so to do.
Having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And we have witnessed again, brethren and sisters, the outworking of the word of our salvation. That we have seen again that one has received with meekness the implanted word, which, as James says, is able to save our souls. And it is entirely appropriate that our readings this morning are taken from the gospel record of Luke, where Jesus lays before us the parable of the sower, the way in which the word of his salvation was distributed, and more importantly, how the word of his salvation was received. The work of Jesus Christ was described by the one who wrote the record of Deuteronomy. In the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy and at the 18th verse, there the Lord, speaking to Moses, says, "There shall arise unto you a prophet from among your brethren like unto you. Unto him shall you hearken." And they were to hearken to the words of the prophet. It's very interesting, brethren and sisters, that the very foundation of the work of Jesus Christ is here described in the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. The way in which Jesus Christ was to be the bringer of the word of God to the people. He was the sower who was to go through the land of Israel, scattering the word of the gospel of his salvation. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." The commission of Jesus then was to bring the word of God to the people, that he should speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it is particularly John in his gospel who concentrates our minds upon this aspect of the work of Jesus Christ as the bringer of the word of God to the people. There are many references that we can go to, but one in the 12th chapter, for example, the 12th chapter of John's gospel, which in fact reflects the sentiments and ideas of Deuteronomy 18:18. Highlights the work of Jesus and the way in which his delivery of the word of God was to affect the lives of men and of women. The 12th chapter of John's Gospel and the 48th verse. "He that rejecteth me," says Jesus, "he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken from myself," as the Revised Version has it. These words were not Jesus originated. They were not the words of a self-seeking man. Jesus was delivering the word of God to the people. "I have not spoken from myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." And it is interesting that Deuteronomy reflects exactly the words which John says, and indeed continues to say, as we proceed from that 18th verse in Deuteronomy, that everyone who will not hearken unto the words of that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. The picture then that Jesus draws for us in the 8th chapter of Luke is a picture of himself working the works of God, fulfilling the commission that God had given him to deliver the word of God to the people. And it is entirely appropriate, brothers and sisters, that we reflect upon the words which Jesus says this morning. Because it is more than possible that we who are collected together here today are less than fruitful. The parable is the parable about fruitfulness, a parable about receiving the word and of allowing that word to develop and grow and to influence our lives and to allow it to blossom and bring forth fruit unto him. And Jesus, in his parable, highlights the reaction of men and women to his word, and the way some reject it completely, the rest all receive it, but with varying degrees of success. And we can exercise our minds this morning by looking at the way in which the people at the time of Jesus reacted to this word which he was delivering. And we can see their response. And then we can turn inwards and look at ourselves and examine our own lives and our own fruitfulness. It's not difficult to spot the first category, is it? Anyone who has read the Gospels is immediately struck by the constant and persistent pressure that was being put upon Jesus by the ruling classes, and in particular the scribes and the Pharisees. To say that they were against him is to put it very mildly indeed. He was constantly and persistently harangued by these men. And they were the ones who received the seed upon the stony ground. And indeed, there is a quotation, isn't there, in there from the Old Testament, particularly from Isaiah. It's more sort of fully highlighted in the parallel record in Matthew, where the attention of the disciples is drawn to the work of these men. The 13th chapter of Matthew, where the quotation is more fully highlighted. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, "By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." And they were not healed or converted. Their hearts remained stony. And even when they were faced with the bare facts of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, working his works, they were incapable of perceiving it. They were blinded to the message that he was bringing. And this can be no more beautifully explained as in the 9th chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus takes the blind man and heals him. He gives a blind man sight. And we can see how the story progresses that the blind man receiving his sight is an allegory. It is a parable. It is a parable of the blind wandering the world and then desiring to see the light of the gospel of salvation, admitting their blindness and receiving light. And the Pharisees say, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus says that if you had accepted your blindness, you would have had no sin. But because you say we see, your sin remaineth. They were blind, and they were blind leaders of the blind. And there were those who received the seed in the wayside, in the stony places. And in the stony places, there was a little bit of earth, but not much. And the seed started to grow. The word of his salvation started to make a little headway against the difficult conditions. But the conditions were too great. The problems of life were too great. The difficulties of following this man of God were too great. The sayings that he said were too hard for them to bear. And there were some like that in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus speaks many hard things and sayings difficult to be understood. And let's be sympathetic, brethren and sisters, to those people. How hard it must have been for them to understand the things that Jesus was saying. He'd just fed the multitude. He'd given them bread to eat. And then he had said to them that you follow me not because you had not because you heard my words, but because you had the bread and were filled. And then he goes on to exhort them, and he says that they should desire to feed on a different kind of bread. And except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. And again, the arrows of the Pharisees were pointed towards him. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? For many of the disciples of Jesus, this was too much. This was too much. The 6th chapter of John. And the 52nd verse. Jesus, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And his disciples were in the middle of this striving. They were in the middle of this striving. And the questions that they were asking themselves must have been quite incredible. Should we be following this man? Is he some kind of crank? Verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, and who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto him, "Doth this also offend you? What, and if you shall see a Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you," he says, "they are spirit, and they are life. But there were some of you that believed not." Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore he said unto you, "That no man can come to me except it were given him by the Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They had received the word. They had gladly received it and followed him. But the difficulties, the pressures were too much. And it would seem from this record that even the twelve, were perhaps a little doubting. Because what does Jesus say? Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Peter again comes up with the answer, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To grow plants in stony ground is difficult. Among thorns and thistles demands toil and labour. And we all have thorns and thistles, brothers and sisters, growing in our lives. Thorns and thistles that can so easily, without the labour, so easily choke out the word of the gospel of his salvation. And there was a young man that came to Jesus who was obviously very eager to accept what Jesus was saying. And the way in which Jesus treats him is very gentle, firm yet gentle, and yet it highlighted the man's weakness. It threw out, as it were, the thorns and the thistles of his life. It's in Matthew 19, and we all know the story very well. And verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He says unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. As far as that young man was concerned, his thorns and his thistles, the barrier to accepting fully the words that Jesus was saying, were his great possessions. For you and for me, it's different things, no doubt. But we all have thorns and thistles that need to be constantly worked at if the word is to be fruitful. And with the last category, it was fruitful. And if we think about the way in which a field of wheat is sown, it's highly improbable that the vast majority of the seed is wasted upon thorns, thistles, stony places, and the wayside. The vast majority of seed, one would hope, in the best ordered farms, would fall upon the good ground that had been tilled and fertilized and made ready to receive it. And that's an interesting thought, isn't it? That the majority of the seed would fall upon the good ground. But the only good ground that we really learn about, in any great detail, in the Gospels in particular, are those 12 men. There were no doubt many others, of which little is said. It is obviously true that as Jesus went about his day-to-day life and his preaching, the multitudes flocked after him, literal multitudes, to the extent of thousands. But the details are given of these 12 men. And in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, a chapter again which we all know very well, there's some very interesting things said about their reception of the Word of God. In the 17th chapter of John, then, let's look at the way in which Jesus pinpoints the work that he has accomplished, the work that he was commissioned to do of bringing the Word of God to the people. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The work that Jesus had been given to accomplish was obviously the work in his life, but also the work of preparing the ground, of delivering the Word of God to the people. And what does he say of these men that he had taken and to whom he had delivered more intensely and more carefully the word that he had received? I have manifested thy name, he says at verse 6, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. The things that I've told them about, says Jesus, originate from God. For I have given unto them, notice these words in the context of Deuteronomy 18:18, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. And Jesus continues to highlight again this aspect of their receiving the word. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, he says, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So then Jesus, in his disciples, accomplished the work. He accomplished the work of distributing his word, and in them it brought forth fruit, but for one. And there was a hint of that, wasn't there, in that 6th chapter of John's Gospel. In them it brought forth fruit, but for one. And they, these men, were the vital link in the way in which that word was to continually, from that time on, be sown amongst men and women. Because we read, don't we, verse 21, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. They received the word into their good and honest hearts. And they in their turn were commissioned by Jesus to continue the work of distributing the word of God to the people, that it might bring forth new life and new fruit unto him. And as we examine the way in which the word was received at the time of Jesus, we can, as it were, stand aside and look at our own lives and say, well, how have I received the word? And what kind of fruit have I brought forth unto him? The interesting thing, brothers and sisters, is that this parable is just as much a parable about the quality of the soil as it is about the quality of the seed. The quality of the seed is in no doubt. The quality of the seed is in no doubt. It is incorruptible, says Peter. It is the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. It is the word of the gospel which has been preached unto us. The quality of the seed is in no doubt. In every instance, it is the quality of the soil that matters. And the simple question that we ask this morning is, what kind of soil are you?